Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to everyone's phone calls on Nick Sirianni. Should he be on the hot seat as we enter 2026? And Hugh's Clues, pair of tickets giveaway today to the Mylotta Family Foundation launch concert, June 11th at Stateside Live in Philadelphia. And then we got to help Hugh workshop his top 11 list for the afternoon show. All
that. Workshop that thing.
Yeah. How you doing? You feeling good about it?
I feel pretty. Okay. Yeah, not really. Because okay. I omitted somebody and I need to move some things around.
We'll work on that. All right. A lot to do this hour, including talking to our guy Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, along with Freddie Coleman from NFL wide receiver. He joins us now. I heard Harry last week say Nick Sirianni is on the hot seat for him. And I say, yeah, that's my kind of guy. Harry, how you doing today?
Ken Folk.
I'm doing well. Well, first and foremost, when you bring me into a song that's from one of my favorite movies from 1984, Beverly Hills Cop, Mr. Glenda, he is on.
What's going on, man? How you been?
Man, because I'm doing all right. You know, no complaints. I woke up this morning, I'm breathing. My kids have me running all over the place with their extracurricular activities. But that's what I love about fatherhood. Paying it forward. My father was a great example for me. Now I'm implementing that to my kids. So when they grow up and have kids, they know how it was done. So loving being a father.
No question about that, man. So I have a few questions for you because I always like to talk to you because I know you watch a lot of film and, you know, I know you watched the Eagles last year. Were there times last year, A.J. Brown, did you see him give up in games, number one? And number two is, what do you think he's going to be in New England? Just off just the first glance, what type of receiver you think he's going to be in New England? Is he going to be an impact receiver?
All right, so first I'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles last season. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not going to say he gave up in games, but there were moments where you may have seen him probably give up on plays. And I think sometimes that actually comes from not believing in your quarterback 1,000% that they can get you the football and they're going to see everything how the play should be developing. That plays a part in it. But as we're always taught, no matter what the circumstances are, you always expect the ball no matter what's going on. And that should be your mindset. I just think the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts became so toxic that it was clear and obvious that both sides just need to part ways. And A.J. Brown go his way, Jalen Hurts revamp things and start things over with the guys that he now has in front of him from a skill position standpoint. And that was the best outcome for Jalen Hurts, for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then also for A.J. Brown. Now, as far as A.J. Brown, I think he's going into a great situation because I do believe Drake May will be the best quarterback that he's played with up until this point.
Uh-oh.
From a arm talent perspective.
Uh-oh.
And from an accuracy standpoint.
Oh, because you cut, Kenfo, you don't know what you're doing. You start some stuff down
let
here.
Let him speak his truth,
all right, in my bag. I digress. Well, the floor is yours.
Yeah, but I tell all the Philadelphia fans, I don't give a damn how they feel. One thing I do know is how a damn quarterback's supposed to throw the football consistently when he drops backs and passes. Now, I didn't say from an overall standpoint. I said from an arm talent perspective and also from an accuracy standpoint. Drake May completed 72% of his passes last year, and I believe it was 30 touchdowns to single-digit interceptions. And one of the things that he does well is throw the deep ball. So now when you look at New England, and one of their deficiencies in the Super Bowl versus the Seattle Seahawks is that their wide receivers couldn't win one-on-one consistently. They went and got Romeo Doubs in free agency. You still have the guys that you had last year outside of Stephon Diggs, and then you now trade for A.J. Brown, a guy that can win those one-on-one contested catches, take a five-yard slant, 75 yards to the house. And then when you look at Romeo Doubs, he can beat you at all three levels as well, short, intermediate, deep. He can catch the ball over the middle of the football field. So they just got two great additions to their wide receiver room on top of a quarterback that's returning with the offensive play calling Josh McDaniels, in which he was second in MVP voting. And if a few people would have voted a different way, he would have won it last season.
Well, he would have. And Harry, I agree with you on that. And now, so AJ's gone. He's out of here. He's the Patriots now. He's with the Patriots. And we have a new receiver room. Harry, I'm curious what you think of what the Eagles have now at wide receiver, specifically if you think DeVonta Smith is ready to take a big leap. And like when I was thinking about this early in the offseason, to me, there's a parallel between last year when the Seattle Seahawks let DK Metcalf go in a trade to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they knew internally Jaxon Smith-Njigba had another gear to him, and he had an incredible season. And Aaron, I'm not saying AJ's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, or excuse me, Devontae, but I do think Devontae could take a big leap as the number one now. Your thoughts on the receiver room without AJ, and do you think Devontae has another gear to his game?
And I'll first start by saying this. Anybody would be crazy just to say right off the bat, the Philadelphia Eagles as an offense, they're going to be better without A.J. Brown. No, there's too much nuance within this offensive system. I don't know why people are questioning Devontae Smith being the number one wide receiver. This is a Heisman Trophy winner. This is a guy that had 1,000 yards in his first season as a wide receiver, or if he didn't have 1,000, I think it was right underneath 1,000. But he's reliable. He can run routes. He can get open for the quarterback. He can win his one-on-one matchup. So it's a no-brainer that he's going to be a number one. I think now, because you don't have an A.J. Brown, Mekhi Lemon is going to have to come along faster, right? I don't think gradually you can say, oh, Mekhi Lemon, it's going to take you 8 or 9 games. No, instantly right now he's going to have to make plays. Dontavian Wicks has been in this offensive system because he comes from Green Bay with Sean Mannion. And then you have a Hollywood Brown that can make plays and Elijah Moore that you can use in a varied of different ways. But they're going to live in 12 personnel, y'all. That's one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. Dallas Goedert's going to get the football more. Look at where Sean Mannion came from. The number one receiver last year in Green Bay was a tight end before he tore his ACL. Also, I think a matchup nightmare is going to be Eli Stowers. Getting him matched up with stiff safeties and linebackers who feel like they can guard, but the athleticism of Eli Stowers, I think, is going to stand out more. They're going to live in that 12 personnel and gradually work their way. And I was asked this question on SportsCenter the other day, like, what do I feel like the ceiling is for Philadelphia Eagles in their offense? Y'all, we don't know. It's to be determined because you have a new offensive coordinator. The run game's going to be different. Jeff Stoutland's not there. And Jeff Stoutland and the Eagles parting ways, that tells me that they gave full autonomy to Sean Mannion to run this offensive system. This is the first time this is going to happen under Nick Sirianni now. So that's going to be different in itself. But the key to this offense and the totality of it is going to be the run game. They were 18th in rushing last year. That's not going to cut it, especially with the play-action game that they're going to want to run under Sean Mannion. But when they won the Super Bowl, they were 2nd in rushing in the league. That's where you have to get back to being top 5 running the football.
Harry Douglas with us, former NFL wide receiver, now ESPN Radio, along with Freddie Coleman. All right, Harry, our quota, we have to fill it. We have to ask a Jalen Hurts question, especially because you're an offensive guy. So here's my question about Jalen Hurts. Harry, this system is a departure from how Jalen has played football in the NFL, which has been he holds the ball for a long time and he makes plays. And he's made a lot of them, and they've won a lot of games with him. But this offense, from the iterations we've seen, Green Bay and Los Angeles, San Francisco, the quarterback's got to throw the ball with some anticipation, some timing. How long do you think it might take Jalen to feel comfortable playing offense the way Sean Mannion wants his quarterback to play?
See, that's the thing. Everyone is just saying, how long is it going to take Jalen Hurts? Y'all, this is a new offensive system for everybody for the Philadelphia Eagles in their offense. It's going to take the entire group. They're going to have some bumps in the road early on. So they're going to have to gradually, work their way into this thing. And if it doesn't look right early on, don't go in panic mode. That's natural. Defenses are always ahead because they can adapt to things faster than offense because you can have 9 guys mess up on defense and 2 guys do the right thing and the play is successful. You can't have 1 guy mess up on offense because the play will be derailed. So I do believe it's going to take some time. But to Jalen Hurts' credit, he's going to have a full offseason understanding what the offensive system going into a season is going to be, being under center, knowing that he has to throw the football in the middle of the football field, versus trying to adapt to something differently in the middle of the season and change things up. So that's what I do like it, and I'm interested to see what it's going to look like because he has a full offseason from start to finish on what he knows this offensive system is going to be, being under center, utilizing play action, turning his back to the defense, and having to make throws across the middle of the football field.
Harry, it's been great talking to you here. Let's do it again before the season starts. This was fun. Great getting your insight. Thank you, Harry.
Definitely appreciate you, Kim, folk.
Nah, sounds good to me. Tell Big Cuz you just hit me up, and I'm going to answer the dial.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate hearing you from him.
There he is, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio, former NFL wide receiver there. Came right at you with the Drake May stuff. I mean, it came right at you.
All I'm saying is, I was just letting you know, you say that in Philly, people are going to get upset.
You know, I like me. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, but that's Harry in a nutshell. Yeah. His last name is Douglas, yeah. So you know that's...
He's also right. I mean, from an arm talent perspective, May.
No, I mean, I heard him when he said it. Yeah. I didn't disagree with him, but I just knew, like, people didn't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Because it's not saying that Jalen's bad. It's just saying that he just throws the ball better. That's it.
People are babies. Like, if you were to say in L.A. that Jalen's a better runner as a quarterback than Matt Stafford is,
well, obviously
nobody would push back.
Well, it's just
like
just,
Drake May is a better passer. Yeah. That's okay, guys.
Well, it is. Well, here's why there's the sensitivity AJ chose that quarterback over this quarterback. It's all Jalen sensitivity. I mean, that's what this whole thing is. All right, 215-592-9494. Hughes Clues for your chance to win a pair of tickets. My Lotta Family Foundation launch concert on June 11th, Stateside Live in Philadelphia. We will help Hugh workshop his top 11 list coming up. Is it Xavier or Xavier? Let's ask him. Xavier in Tampa. Am I getting it right?
I'll answer to either one because I'm so hot. Okay. I do not understand the vitriol that our city has for our QB1. This is ridiculous. And we're talking about Drake May? Mm-hmm. Drake May, who had 4 interceptions and 4 lost fumbles during his playoff run last year? Are we serious right now? As far as deep ball, Jalen Hurts got the best deep ball in the freaking NFL. What are we talking about?
He did, but he didn't have a good one last year. Didn't throw a good deep ball last season.
Look, I don't get it. Okay, so my question is, who are we going to get if we get rid of Hurts? Who are we going to if we get rid of him?
I mean, a lot of options. I don't know. Not sure where they're going to go.
No, I want a name. Tell me. Y'all the experts. Tell me if we get rid of her.
You want to workshop this, Xavier? I'll give you some options. There's like 6 first-round quarterbacks in next year's draft. So that's option number one. And if they have to move off of Hurts, the most likely thing is they draft a cheap quarterback. Xavier, that's most likely where they go. Other options would be a veteran that is on the market, or they try to make a huge blockbuster trade for a great quarterback that asks out of his team. I mean, it's got to be one of those options.
Right. So everybody can tell you how to do it, but they never did it, right? Man, I don't get it. I'm living down here in Tampa. Look, I'm living down here in Tampa, and I have to defend. I have to tell Tampa why our city is so against our quarterback when they would love to have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. I don't get it. And come on, Hugh. You are disappointing me.
Why? Before I let you have it, Xavier, I'm gonna let you explain what did I say that you were disappointed in that, because it's obvious you didn't understand anything I said. But what did you hear that disappointed you?
No, I do understand it. You sat up here and let Harry Douglas get on the freaking line and talk bad about our quarterback. Really?
Xavier, let me stop you right there. You know why I did that? You want to know why I did that?
Why?
Because Harry Douglas played receiver in the National Football League. Guess what position I played? I played defensive end. So I'm going to let Harry talk because Harry knows more about the position in the NFL that he played than I do. So when you let me finish. Because there's a thing in this league called respect. Just like when Ike talk about linebackers that play in the NFL, I defer to Ike because he played linebacker. Harry Douglas played receiver in the NFL. Xavier, no disrespect, but did you play receiver in the NFL?
No, I didn't. But
okay,
you know,
but
you
listen,
ain't no
let me finish. Let me finish, Xavier, because this is the fact. Like, you're allowed to have your opinion, but when you come at me and you talk to me like you're disappointed in something that I said because I defer to somebody that knows more than I do, that's like you arguing with your doctor about a diagnosis that you don't like, and he's the damn doctor.
That's really good.
You see what I'm saying? And now when you come at me and talking about you're disappointed in me, it's irritating because I'm listening to the doctor. In this analogy, Harry Douglas is a doctor. He's the doctor talking about an analysis that he sees. So if you're disappointed in that, go ask another doctor, receiver, and see what he has. Say, go ask Jason Avant or somebody else. Because I've sat in this chair, and I've heard Jason Avant say something similar.
Yep.
To what Harry has said. So what I'm trying to say is this. You're entitled to your opinion. I can't take that away from you. But don't come at me like you're disappointed at me because I allowed somebody that knows more than I do have an opinion about something that they know more about than I do. You feel me?
You know what? I understand and I acknowledge what you're saying. Maybe it's just me that
you're in your
I
feelings.
You
get out of your feelings. Because listen, let me tell you what I'm doing when I sit in this chair, Xavier. I'm going to spit facts to you that the way that I see it. You don't have to agree with it. Me and Joe sit here and argue every day about stuff that me and him don't agree with. But we still have respect for one another. That's all I'm asking for, brother, in this situation. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying, but I got more knowledge than you do when it comes to this.
Yes, you do. And so if it came across as me trying to be disrespectful towards you, it wasn't that. I guess I'm just looking at it from the standpoint that I watch you. I'm a huge fan of yours. Like, I love you, brother. And I just can't understand the vitriol that we have.
Yeah, Xavier, let me interject. There's not the vitriol. Can we grow up, Xavier? We are grown-ups talking about a game. They're football players. He didn't play well last year. Can we just be honest? He didn't play well last year. When a player doesn't play well in the NFL and they are an expensive player, there is a legitimate discussion that the team will try to find a cheaper alternative. This isn't rocket science, and we don't have to cry about it.
It was all on him?
You're changing the conversation. Did he play well last year? Just answer it yes or no. And don't give me a heads that it was everyone else's fault. Did he play well?
He could have played better.
He didn't play well, Xavier. He didn't play well. So his future is in question. We don't have to get all sensitive about it, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He didn't play well. The offense sucked. What do you mean you don't get it? Did the offense suck? Did the offense suck?
It was because of him. This man has had, seven different coordinators? We all know the narrative. I don't get it. Yeah, Nick Sirianni's on the hot seat. Now it hurts. I can't do it.
Okay, well, I think they're both on the
hot seat. Paul Sirianni's on his win, though.
Yeah, well, that's that's how the whole thing works. All right. We good, Xavier, or no?
We good?
Yeah, I guess we good.
All right, we're good. I'm glad we finished it out. We're good. You call again.
Right. Everyone hold hands.
Yeah, we're good.
No, I mean, we're good. It's just
I just want to make sure he was good.
No, I mean, and I didn't mean to. Didn't mean to yell, but it's irritating because people act like I'm sitting here like I have an axe to grind with Jalen because he struck me out in a softball game. It's not what the hell I'm on.
Now
I'm here.
I will say because you brought that up, people are going to think it's not
in
the back of your head.
No, but this is how. Listen, I'm gonna say this with all due respect, and I'm not talking about Xavier, but this is how stupid some of y'all are. I sit here every day, and I talk about the feeling about what I see and how I interpret certain things. Harry Douglas came on here today and talked about what he sees. Harry watches a lot of film. He's always been like that. And I knew he would come on here and be honest about what he sees. And that's what he sees. If you don't like it, then how about this? With all due respect, go play in the National Football League and then see exactly what he's talking about.
You brought up Jason. He kind of reminds me of Jason in some ways.
Yes,
they are
avid film watchers.
Yes, yes.
They are great route runners. You know,
That's how they made their career. Yeah.
They might not have had the physical attributes of a Julio Jones or an A.J. Brown or something like this. But when they talk about certain things, just like Urban Fryer, I'll sit here and I'll say something about receivers. And if Rev's listening, Rev will correct me. Mm-hmm. And I will come back and I will correct myself because Rev played the game at a high level. Who am I to tell? Because we were arguing about route running. And I said something about routes. And Rev said, hey, man, he doesn't run great routes. He said he does not run great routes. And I stopped pushing back because this is a man who ran routes his whole life. So what do I look like telling Urban Fryer that he don't know what he's talking about running routes? That's just like me telling Harry Douglas he don't know what he's talking about playing receiver. Yeah. That's just like you telling me, some folks, that I don't know what I'm talking about when we talk about playing. You know how stupid you sound? But no, I'm saying you can have an opinion, but when you talk about getting mad about my opinion or what I see, you sound stupid.
Well, also, we invited them on as a guest.
You just want to hear from a different perspective.
Yeah.
We sit here in a space and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But if it's something that you don't like, don't get mad because you don't like it. Hell, listen to it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just listen to what's being said. Ain't nobody got no damn axe to grind against nobody.
Why would Harry Douglas have an axe to grind?
Yeah, he just on here telling you what he see.
Yeah. It's and you, I think it's a fair question you asked. Like, how do you think AJ is going to do? We all wonder that, right? Like,
yeah, and he broke it down because he's talking about somebody who can still use his body, probably not as fast, but can still use his body to make plays.
The other thing I thought was interesting, and I'm not, I don't think it should absolve AJ because he's a professional and he wasn't good enough last year. But Hugh, when he brought the perspective of a receiver, when you asked about him quitting, right, AJ not giving 100%, and he said, you know, sometimes when you're a receiver and the ball's not out on time,
you don't believe in it. It's a trust.
You lose trust that your quarterback's going to do the right thing. So maybe you subconsciously or maybe it was consciously stop giving your all.
It's a trust thing. When a quarterback is when his stats are on the line, and if he know you're not going to get open, he ain't throwing the ball to you.
And it works both ways.
Or if you're going to drop the ball, he's not going to throw it to you.
And then if you're a receiver and you think the ball is supposed to be there at a certain spot and it's not, you start to get frustrated.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing stories about with Peyton Manning. And he was telling he would yell at his receivers, hey, if I tell you there's a nickel out there in the grass, you better go out there and find it or something crazy, he would say. But that's the type of rapport you have to have with the receivers that you're working with because your livelihood is tethered to what he catches and doesn't catch.
Of course.
So I get it, but hey, you know, I didn't play receiver, so I'm always defer to the receiver when he tells me something about actually catching the damn football.
Well, I enjoy talking to Harry. All right, 215-592-9494. That was lively. That was a fun segment. I think it was a good.
No, I mean, and I'm not mad at Xavier. It's just it gets frustrating when people hear like it's being negative. You're an analyst.
Yeah. Well, can we not do the vitriol thing too?
Yeah. I mean, grow up. We're grown ups. All right. You can hop in on all of this. We started the show today with the idea of Sirianni. I think Sirianni belongs in the hot seat to start this year. Hugh thinks it's more on Jalen. I think they're both on the hot seat as we go into the season. All right. Another clue as well when we come back. Another clue for Hugh's clues. And we're workshopping our top 11 list for the afternoon show's top 11 next week. I've submitted mine. Kyle's got his basically locked down. We're going to help Hugh out. And I do believe there's one thing we all should agree on when it comes to the top 11. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Sanchez ready. The 0-2 again. Strike three called. Got him looking. Sanchez pounding the backside of his glove, clapping back towards the Phillies dugout as he strikes out the top of the order after the lead double in the air. Runner stranded at third. Sanchez doing his thing again.
How about Christopher Sanchez? Again.
How about that guy?
Guys, unbelievable. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. So, I actually enjoyed the Christopher Sanchez start last night for a different reason than all the other ones. Because he was mortal last night. You know, like, when he has all these starts where he gives up no runs, it's just like, oh my goodness, we've never seen this before, or, you know, rare. But last night, he wasn't perfect. He gave up two runs, including a home run.
Yeah, but he was still special.
But he was still amazing. And he still finished seven innings, two runs, four hits, one walk.
Money.
And then that inning, the one we just brought you in there with, so the double to right center field to start the inning, right? There was an error there, so the guy got to third. Guy on third, no outs. I mean, that's the kind of the point of the game where you think, all right, maybe this is his first shaky start in since April. Probably going to get up at least three.
Ice water in his veins.
And then boom, three strikeouts in a row to get right at the inning, including Vlad to end the inning. I mean, that, you know, he is
ice water in his veins.
Guy's remarkable. We are now in early June, and he's carrying a 1.54 earned run average. So next week here on WIP, it is top 11 week. So this is the week everyone gets to vote on top 11 for the afternoon show, and we're all submitting our lists to Spike and Jack and Ike for the afternoon show's top 11. And next week we'll get the unveiling of who the top 11 athletes are right now in Philadelphia sports. So I sent Spike yesterday my top 11, and this morning, Hugh, you were workshopping yours. So
yeah, because it's not as easy this year.
I agree.
As it has been in the past.
Did Spike bully you again?
Excuse me?
Like last year?
What'd you say?
Did Spike bully you again? Like
no,
last
he
year?
Did.
Oh,
he
did.
Because I saw it, and I knew that at some point, you know, I had to get to it. So that's when I started. Like when I was riding into work this morning, I was like, it's going to be a little tough because a lot of the athletes that were on the list last year, it's changed a lot.
They've fallen. Again, yeah. I do think the top of the recent lists have gone backwards in their careers, and now we have all these other guys jumping up, and how do you kind of balance that? So let's start with this as we help Hugh workshop his top 11 for next week. Hugh, I want to help you with something, and to keep things simple, I always think if you're making a list or whatever, if you could start with something, it kind of everything builds off of that.
Yes.
And I think this should be simple. I think not just your list. I'm speaking for you, for Kyle, for me, for the morning show, for the afternoon, for everyone out there. We should have a consensus number one. It should be a unanimous number one. Christopher Sanchez should be number one on your list and everyone's list. He's the best athlete in Philadelphia, Hugh. I know a few weeks ago we had this conversation to an extent, and you're like, you know, you hate pitchers.
Every
and all
fifth
that.
Day.
Yeah, you're a pitcher, you're anti-pitcher guy. Mm-hmm. But he's the best athlete in Philadelphia right now. Look at what he's doing for a long period of time. I think that's how you start your list. That's just my opinion.
You know what, Joe? You know how I feel about that, and because it's only you affect every fifth day as a pitcher. And you know what's ironic is that yesterday when I started to figure out my list, I was watching the game because I looked at the email and I saw Spike, hey, everybody, this time of year, you know, we do the list. And I thought to myself, you know, I feel strongly about my take on pitchers in every fifth day. But what he's been able to do for as long as he's been doing it, it'd be foolish not to put him at number one. And this is how I kind of started my list. I started 1 and 11.
Okay, so you're basing so Sanchez 1, and then you kind of have 11 figured out. And you're
I
going
got 11.
From there.
I think I got 11 figured out.
Okay.
Now, as we meander through this, there's a few guys that, you know, because we only have 11, we have to figure out. I have to debate on whether they're going to make the list or not. Now, I'll tell you this. Some of the guys that are locks on my list, VJ Edgecombe, Cooper DeJean, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. Now, just to give you a little insight on my list, Joel Embiid probably is going to be more towards the bottom, but he's still on the list. Now, Tyrese Maxey and VJ, don't know where I'm going to put those two guys.
Right.
Coop's going to be on the list. It's not going to – the bottom line is I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of Eagles. It's probably going to be like 3 or 4.
Wow. Well, and then think about 1 year ago coming off the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It was a list of mostly Eagles.
And I'm going to tell you another guy that's probably going to be on my list that's probably not on anybody's list, Jalix Hunt.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know what? You know who I think might have him? Elliott. Remember, Elliott ranked him as the fourth best Eagle right now. So if you think a guy's a top four Eagle, then I think you'd have – but you know what? That's an interesting name.
And it's for me now, it's – it's I got one, and I potentially have 11. Now it's, okay, where does everybody else go?
Yeah, the other 9. So to tell you how
– oh, well, Porter Martone.
And
Vlad.
That goes right up your alley. I mean, the young Thundercats.
Like it's
you're going to run out of spots.
That's what I'm saying, and I got to put the goalie in there too. So
he's
going to
have a top 20.
I know.
No,
so,
that's the problem, Kyle, because when we started workshopping, and I'm like, okay, these guys are going to be on the list. I just don't know where I'm going to put
You know what you sound like?
What's that?
You sound like an NBA fan who ranks the top 5 players, and they have 12 players. There's only top 5. You can't have 12 players.
Yeah, so, I'm going to make it through. Somebody's not going to make the list.
I do agree with you that this year is just more depth to the list. I think it's a couple
and the
things.
The Flyers, emerging the Flyers.
Yes.
And it might be somebody that somebody might, you know, DM me and say, hey, what about so-and-so?
I think the Flyers becoming relevant again.
It hurts the list.
Edgecombe emerging, right?
The Eagles being annoying.
The Eagles always
he said Eagles
that.
Being annoying.
I think let's talk about the elephant in the room. There's a quarterback here who we are split on, right? So some people are going to have I heard Spike yesterday say already some of the people that have submitted lists, you know, the staff members, have Jalen very high in the top 11. There's going to be, last year, there were a couple of people, Kyle and DeCamera, I believe, who had him off the top 11. My guess is this year, and it's an informed guess, you might understand what I'm saying, not as many people are going to have him on the top 11. So I think Jalen makes it hard. Hugh, you talked about 20. I wrote down 25 names that I thought at least deserved some sort of consideration, and then I narrowed down to my 11. But that I think in years past, I've had way less names. Like maybe there were 15, 16, 17, and then I got to 11. I have 25 names I wrote down that I was at least like, I should think about them.
Was
and then
Jalen,
I got to
was Jalen any of them?
Yes, he was in the top 25.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I thought about it, but.
Interesting.
I think I'm at 15 right now.
He's not in my top 11.
Well, he wasn't in mine last year, so he's definitely.
Yeah, he's not. Because it's tough. Because when you talk about there's some young players that emerged.
Yes,
there's some players that have resurrected themselves. Like, and I try to, it's not so much for my list about – it's about being in the moment. Mm-hmm. And for me, the moment is last year's football team, this year's Phillies team, and what the Flyers were able to do, and this year's Sixers. Not so much like I try to keep it in the season.
Yeah. So for me, I heavily weighted the last year of performance. That like my when we unveil our list next week, my top six all have, in my opinion, played the best over the last year.
Well, there's going to be guys who were on it last year who may, you know, Zach Bond, Defensive Player of the Year.
Nah, he ain't
but
on
he
the
wasn't
list.
As great. This
not
year.
As good. Not as good. And Trey Turner.
Mm-mm.
Probably, I'm saying probably toward the bottom, if at all, on most people's lists.
No, and to be fair to him, he did win the batting title last season.
And he stunk this year.
He has been crap this year. Let's just call it for what it is. Now, Trey's an interesting one. But I think, just to make it simple for everyone, I'm trying to help everyone. Just put Sanchez one and then build the list from there.
Well, is AJ allowed?
No.
Why not?
You're not on the list.
What do you mean is AJ allowed? He's a Patriot.
He is now.
Yeah, but it's the top 11 athletes in Philadelphia.
Well, when the Eagles last played, he was on the team.
He can't be on the list.
Hold on.
Well,
all right. Saquon gets traded tomorrow.
He's not on the list. I remove him. They have to be on the list.
Okay, well, no, you're saying you do, but like, is it accept? I think it's he should be in consideration on some people's lists.
Oh, I don't think so. Hugh, should AJ be a consideration for these lists? I say no way. He's not here.
No, I would say you unless you want some ire.
Do I look like I care about ire?
No, you don't. You
the
don't.
Person
I put the Super Bowl
AJ
MVP
AJ
off the list
and
last
Jalen
year.
Off. Well, really, that'll be something. No,
yeah,
it'll
feel like a troll.
I'll put Kevin Petullo on
a little bit. It'll feel like trolling a little bit.
All right, top 11 week next week. I do wonder if people. I'm curious because you know we'll have. I think 50% of the way they do the voting is us here at WIP. 50% is the audience, right? And I wonder how much of the audience will have Christopher Sanchez.
Everyone should.
I think it's crazy if he's not the end vote at number one.
I think it's as big of a slam dunk as Saquon was last year.
It feels like it. I mean,
if you're being fair, he has to be number one.
Well, he finished second in Cy Young last season, and he's backed it up this year by being the favorite for Cy Young. I mean, he's having the best overall year of anybody in Philadelphia sports. What a night last night for him. Phillies win again. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Sirianni, should he be on the hot seat? Are you disappointed in Hugh Douglas? Actually, I'm just kidding about that. And of course, should Christopher Sanchez be the lock number one for everyone next week? Chris in Middletown up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
Happy trigger to the Jalenites day, man.
It's always that day. I kind of blame Hugh for this because he's been workshopping Andy Dalton, you know, taking his job for the last couple days live on the air.
Hugh, yes. I'm going to address you after my point here. But, you know, it's clear to anybody with a brain that it is Jalen Hurts who is on the hot seat. I mean, you know what? These Jalenites, they're really the true morons here. They were the ones that united. So, Hugh, I don't know. Maybe you want to lead them because they look like they're, you know, pretty emotional and low IQ. So you might be able to help them. But, I mean, they'll follow any excuse, anything you want. But, listen, you guys, the respect that Joe, that your disrespect you're throwing at Nick Sirianni.
It's not disrespect.
I'm not a huge Nick fan, and you know that. But, like, listen. Let's give him credit where credit is due. He did hold, you know, the soap opera as the Brown Turns together last year and for these past few years. Like, listen, but Buddy was, you know, he was going to see his special massage therapist, you know, and, you know, that maybe he shared with all the players, we recklessly speculate. And we haven't heard any of this until recently. Like, dude was on the sideline reading books during games, like, you know, all of his hard-hitting, you know, events that he was going to with the dudes on dudes, you know. And, like, all Sirianni did was hold this team together, and they won. Joe, all they did was keep winning and hoisted a Lombardi. So I got to give him his due for that. Now, Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Hugh. I can see with my third eye what you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, Hugh, even the low IQ mouth breathers, you people, can see this one. You know, today we're dealing with King Solomon Douglas. What you're trying to do is split the baby and hedge your bets. Yesterday, you called for Jalen to get an $80 million per year contract. But then you know, today, it's all about benching him for the Red Rocket and the future Sky Captain McKee. So I see what you're doing here, and what I see is I see a broken man who had a bad take that failed miserably, and now he's afraid to pick a lane. And he's trying to hedge his bets and play it both ways, That's what I see.
That is not what's happening.
I'm just glad the audience is picking up on Hugh happening. Greasing the skids to bench Hurts. You've greased the skids so clearly.
You know what? You guys are ridiculous.
You're not trying to call both ways.
I am not. That's not what I'm doing. We're sitting here talking about if this offense is sputtering. And basically I said, if the offense is sputtering and they feel it's the quarterback, then they're going to put in the red rifle. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But if the offense sputters and they feel that they're in a window to win now, then they're going to put they're going to sit him down.
You're going to put Dalton on your top 11 this time.
Yes.
You know, if you want to set top 11 week on fire, you put Dalton on the list and you leave Hurts off.
Kyle over there just laughing. Just
Hugh, don't forget the future Sky Captain McKee. Because, I mean,
he's done with him. Obviously, he doesn't love McKee anymore. He's moved on to the red rifle. Because as soon as they traded for Andy Dalton, it was like, who the hell is Tanner McKee? After 2 years of, he's the future. He's the future.
That's the Midwest.
3 weeks from now, he's going to join me on the Red Star Cole Payton train. I mean, eventually he'll get there too. All right,
Red Star Cole Payton
Chris, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
I got the winning answer. And this particular actor, he actually reminds me of Fat Aaron from San Diego. How about Shrek?
Oh wow!
No, Chris, it's not.
We just turned it into a shot.
All right, Hugh, why don't you give everyone a second clue? Because our second guest today was Shrek.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, the first one was an Oscar-winning actor, but he hasn't had a good movie in about a decade.
Wow, yeah. So you're saying he's washed?
I'm not saying he's washed. It's just that.
Sounds like to me.
Should he have even won that Oscar then?
No, he won it for his performance.
Was it a deserved Oscar?
He won it for his performance, but like...
Would you have given him the Oscar?
For the performance in the movie? I think he did a good job, but I don't want to say too much because
sounds like you think he's a fraud.
No, it's just that lately he's had one bad movie after another.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
He's had a few.
Okay.
All right. So this is an Oscar-winning actor.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a good movie in a decade.
Yeah,
all right. So it's someone that obviously hasn't won anything recently or done anything great recently. But there you go. Two clues. We got the Mylotta Family Foundation concert tickets, a pair to give away Thursday, June 11th, Stateside Live. Let's go to John in Bucks County. Hey, John.
Hey guys, how are you?
What's up, John?
Hey, so my theory is Howie Roseman leaked the info to ESPN because he realized he should have fired Sirianni after the 23 season. No one in that building trusts Sirianni. Let me ask you guys, if you guys don't trust your boss, are you going to work as hard for them as you probably could? No. So Jalen is in that situation. I'm sorry?
No, I'll answer you. No, if I didn't trust the boss, I it would be hard for me to give full, complete effort all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And listen, the clown that called before me could have coached that 23 season or whatever year they won the Super Bowl. I mean, you're on a Saquon Barkley revenge tour, the best O-line in football, healthiest O-line. I mean, we can't count that as Sirianni's doing. He's had one good season because of the talent and system around him. And since then, he's done nothing. And learning this whole thing, like culture, details, togetherness, we've seen none of that crap.
Well, not last year, John.
That's my rant. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're dead right about last year.
And I got a guess.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Matthew McConaughey.
It's a good guess. It is not
a damn good guess.
Very good guess. I got to tell you, I love WIP, and I love the callers. I love that rant included, besides the Super Bowl 18 months ago, you've done crap. I mean, I mean, what have you done for me lately?
That's the thought, but let's be honest. You know, he was saying anybody could have coached that team. I think Coach Sirianni pushed all the right buttons, man. I mean, I know we don't give him a lot of credit, and it's kind of hard to because he does bubblehead things.
You call him Coach Bubblehead.
I call him Coach Bubblehead, but... Dude, he's held that team together. It might not be the way that we're accustomed to doing it, but He's doing something right. He's pushing the right buttons.
He does deserve credit for 24, especially the shift back to running the ball. Right, the offensive line went to him and said, he listened and it worked. I'm not going to take credit away for 24. Now, does Howie give him a lot of talent all the time? Yeah. He does, but he gets credit for 24. What's hard for me with Sirianni is when that's his main objective, culture, keeping everything together.
So and he can't keep that going.
Well, the years it goes bad, then like what
are we doing?
What did you do well this year? Like, you know, other coaches who, let's say, they're experts on one side of the ball or the other, you say, all right, well, we didn't have a great year, but your offense or your defense, they were still the strength of the team, and you kind of lean on that and try to fix the other parts. He doesn't have that. So he has to do two things. One, they have to be buttoned up. Last year, they weren't. Two, they have to win. And that's why if this thing goes sideways this year and they don't win and they miss the playoffs, he's on the hot seat for me. Let's go to OG Wade up on WIP. OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, how you doing?
Hey, listen. Since I've been on the, I've been on fire in the last couple of days. Y'all gotta allow me the long talk.
All right,
all right. Now, Hugh.
Yes.
I need you to be the judge of this one. Okay. I'm gonna debate Cousin Harry respectfully, and I need you to say who won the debate because Harry already said his part. All right. Mm-hmm. Now here we go. Harry said that A.J. didn't quit in games, but he's seen him give up on a couple of routes in some games. Correct?
Well, he basically...
Joe, I didn't ask you to say a damn thing.
Joe didn't say anything.
That was me talking. Oh, gee, that was...
Great start,
no, I'm
OG.
Sorry,
great
damn. Start. I'm not bad.
Wait, you yell at me, but you say you're sorry to Hugh. What are we doing?
No.
He was trying to be nice, but... He was basically saying that, but he was giving you a reason why it happened. He was giving you a reason why.
Right, I got you. But now, so because we all agree that there's no difference in giving up and quitting, correct?
Yeah. To be fair, no.
Okay. All right. So I won that one, right? Okay. Now he said that Drake May throws a good deep ball, and Drake May was if a couple of votes went a different way, he could have won the MVP, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Now, did not Jalen in 22, with a couple of votes going a different way, he could have been the MVP, correct?
Yes.
But Jalen Hurts also throws a good deep ball, correct?
Correct, yes. But he didn't last year, but he does.
Joe.
Last year he didn't, but in general, yes. Go ahead.
Let me cook, Joe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, they both played in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Whose performance would you say was better? Jalen Hurts' loss in the Super Bowl and Drake May's loss in the Super Bowl?
Jalen.
Okay, we cooking now. Now we go to the tiebreaker. Who has the Super Bowl?
Jalen. Well, that's not the tiebreaker.
Okay. No.
That's not the tiebreaker.
Drake May has his... Drake May will have an opportunity to do what Jalen has already done. So my point is this in the whole thing.
If Howie could choose right now, May or Hurts, who would he take?
Hurts.
Nah.
You know why?
Nah.
What we just seen with Drake May, we seen Drake May play a last place schedule where on that schedule there was three teams projected to make the playoffs.
Isn't that kind of what we faced in 22?
Exactly, and that's why we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
How teams get to the Super Bowl, because they play a last-place schedule. Uh-huh. But then you got to cash in when it's time to cash in. And this is opinionated. Now, you don't have to agree with OG's opinion. And Howie,
You can't even talk to the third
person. Yeah, and Douglas, he obviously liked Drake May over Jim, which
as a passer.
Is cool. That's his opinion.
As a passer.
Yes.
So,
the whole league.
So you. Cousin to OG, who won the battle?
I mean, when you framed it the way you framed it, he did a good job of framing it.
Hold on. Harry said Drake May's a better passer of the football. What does the Super Bowl have to do with it?
Nothing.
Well, it has nothing to do with it.
See, but what OG...
Kyle, shut up.
You shut up.
But see, what OG did, and he kept it to accolades.
Yeah.
When he's talking about accolades and who's accomplished more,
yeah,
you're not arguing that.
Because he changed the argument.
Well,
how convenient. Harry was talking about him as a passer. OG's bringing up a bunch of nonsense.
But he framed it the way it was framed.
Right.
He was right.
Right. Conveniently.
I mean, he framed it the way he framed it.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
All right, now, Joe, let me come at you, Joe, real quick, because I know y'all going to cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe, you said that Jalen didn't play well. He played poor last year, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so he won the division, something that ain't been done in 20 years,
well,
correct?
Well,
The team won the division.
Yes, you know the answer to that.
Okay, all right. Now, Joe, now watch this, Joe. Yeah. Watch this. Was our O-line good or bad last year?
Not good.
Okay. Did A.J. Brown give up on routes? This is your number one receiver. Did he give up on routes?
Yes.
So if our O-line is healthy, because that's the reason why they weren't good, and if A.J. don't give up on plays, you know how much better Jalen's season would have been? Because he won 11 games and won the division.
Well, they won. Or the defense won.
Y'all get my meaning, though?
Holy crap. All right, OG.
That's
completely
Also, I know it's not the time for it. We've completely lost the plot on Super Bowl performance means you are this player. You know, guys, when John Elway first got to Super Bowl, he sucked. It's John Elway. I'm not saying Drake May's going to the Hall of Fame. He might fall off. I mean, we'll find out. But, like, Drake May's career was not that game last February. Drake May's career will be the next 10 years. Like Jalen Hurts' career isn't just February of 2024 in New Orleans. It's a whole body of work.
And they put some talent around Drake May because they believe in him.
Yeah,
you know, they went and got him some receivers.
The Super Bowl is an amazing event. It doesn't make an entire career. It's years and games and over and over and over. That's what greatness is.
Well, just like to apply that logic, if I were to come out and say, Jalen Hurts a better runner of the football than Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Right? And then I go, well, let's compare their Super Bowl performances. What would that means nothing. It's a different argument.
I do like the strategy of OG to enter a debate that someone has stopped talking and they don't know you're in the debate and say, I win. That actually was...
And you know what? And he appealed to the easiest moderator of them all.
Now
you're attacking the
worst moderator in WIP
I heard you were a terrible moderator.
He kept it. He talked about accolades. He didn't say
which wasn't the argument.
For accolades.
That wasn't the argument.
Living in today.
I know that wasn't an argument.
All right, well then judge him on that. Be a harder moderator.
First of all, when OG called in, to be fair to him, he framed the argument. Like nobody was arguing with him. He framed what he wanted to talk about. I can't go in and say, well, no, OG, that's not what it is, because he framed it the way he wanted to.
Technically, Harry framed the argument.
All right. Why can't we just live in reality?
Well, Harry was talking
Harry spoke
about
first.
He was talking about the passing game. He said he's a better passer. And that's what OG was trying to argue.
Then he argued Super Bowl accolades, because
it was the last game that they played.
Live in reality? The accolades versus talent are just separate things. Who has a stronger arm, Caleb Williams or Joe Montana?
Right.
Don't tell me Joe Montana won four Super Bowls. That's not the question.
Yes.
That's not the question.
Exactly.
If you have eyes, you know who's better at something. It doesn't mean they won anything. That's not the conversation.
Here's the reality of
all of this.
Jalen has to play better next year.
Yes.
That's the reality of it. Now, if we don't want to admit that, and we know that there were a lot of intangibles, and we've always said when this thing was going the way it was going, we always talked about it's not all on Jalen.
Right.
That has always been said at this radio station, whether you hear it or not.
Yeah.
He just has to play better next
year. Well, he does. All right, 215-592-9494. Huge clues for your chance at the Mylotta Family Foundation tickets. Plus, we'll get to audio of Mike Gansey for the first time since he spoke yesterday. Our takeaways on the new Sixers president of basketball operations. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, I'm going to warn everybody real quick. Turf Tech lawns may cause extreme happiness. Check out the symptoms, including loving your lawn and spending more time outside. You're going to want to look out for those. Upgrade your yard with Turf Tech, the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Realistic, low-maintenance turf for homes, pet areas, playgrounds, and commercial spaces. Homeowners, contractors, landscapers can shop premium turf with competitive pricing and fast pickup or delivery. Visit turftech.com. That's TURFTEK.com. Turf Tech, happiness starts from the ground up.